Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan Crawford with my lovely wife and best friend Sheila. Just a reminder that all of our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministry.net, a surplus of knowledge that we anticipate you will share with others. Let us bow our hearts in prayer. Abba, Father, we praise you and ask you for your blessing tonight as we lift up to your throne the specific prayer requests recently given to us, as well as the prayers of those listening right now who are suffering with severe diseases. We know you always hear the prayers of the righteous, and we thank you for your promise to carry us through all our afflictions, and may this teaching tonight be to your glory and yours alone. Let us continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem as we anxiously await your trumpet call. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, you know, we really do want your end time questions, and we actually base much of the program's teachings on what you say and what you want to hear. So, honey, could you tell our listeners how they can send us their questions or comments?
I would love to. All right, there's three ways to do this. You can email to Sheila at shofarministry.net, or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. That's 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And maybe include a much-needed gift of love, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net. And tonight, we begin the series on the Fulfilled Spring Feast, a favorite this time of year, and a needed refresher course for most true believers. But first, any news to share tonight, honey?
Yeah. Well, the unions today benefited by the murder of Justice Scalia, for they can now still force all employees to pay union dues, even if they don't join the union, something Scalia was known to be against. It was a 4-4 ruling, so the prior lower court's ruling was upheld.
No surprise to that, but don't you have some good news?
I guess I can give you that now. Aliyah of the remaining Jews in war-torn Yemen have now covertly escaped into Israel, so they got away. That's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
But the rest is not so good. Information obtained from 6 ISIS operatives who were arrested last week say terrorists have advanced imminent plans to murder Jewish children in Turkey. Israel has asked all Jewish people to leave Turkey at once. Mm-hmm. I said last week how Russia, after a probable rift, that's what we think, with Iran's Ayatollah over Russia's secret meetings with the United States that they were doing. Well, they withdrew from Syria to the coastland. Well, ISIS saw that opportunity and re-entered and actually overcame 4 towns in southern Syria. Assad not happy. But then, just a few days later, Putin ordered the Russian Air Force to renew its airstrikes to help support Assad's army on his with his march on the historic town of Palmyra, where ISIS had controlled. But as of yesterday, thanks to Russia, Palmyra is once again controlled by Syria. Now, I don't know how the United States is pressuring Putin, but he has apparently agreed that by August, he will get Assad to start relinquishing his rulership. And with his latest Russian withdrawal, but then renewing the airstrikes, certainly proved to Assad that without Russia, Palmyra, a very important city, would have been lost forever, and with it, Assad's dominance. So, he needs Russia. Mm-hmm. Now, ISIS, when they were in Palmyra, not only stole most of its historic artifacts to sell, but also vandalized many ancient relics, one being a temple to Baal, where in Old Testament times, child sacrifice and bisexual orgies were common practices at the altars of technically Satan, who, as you know, demands worship through human sacrifices. Still does. And also deviant sexual practices. When a child is produced through that, it is then offered up to the false god they call Baal. Well, in an attempt to preserve this cultural site, as it is labeled, two exact replicas of this 50-foot arch, 50 feet,
yeah,
that stood at the entrance to this temple, will actually be erected in a few weeks in Times Square and in London. They're being constructed right now in China.
Maybe done by now.
That's true. This, of course, adds to my, and I'm sure your, many other disturbances. For now, we in the United States are putting up a reminding monument of worship to Satan in the heart of our most important city.
I tell you, this is sick. You know, we'll take down the Ten Commandments, but put up a tribute, if you will, to Satan.
I know.
In actuality, America for quite a while has been sacrificing to babies by all the abortions.
I know, to Satan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we certainly are aware of all the bisexual orgies that are being done and openly bragged about and proudly shown on TV, even for our very young children to be indoctrinated. But these are not the only two giant arches, I'm told, that are going to be made. I read just today that this apparent Institute for Digital Archaeology ultimately hopes to put 1,000 of these arches in cities all over the globe, saints.
That's awful.
I just want to take a moment right now, honey, and just pray real
pray.
Quick. Dear Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that this monstrosity of the Baal replicas not be allowed to be erected in our country. Strike with lightning or some catastrophic sign of your disapproval, and to you be the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's all we can do.
Yep. Well, good is evil and evil is good. Those times are, they're not coming. They're here.
Yeah, they're right.
Okay. If you have your Bibles open to Leviticus 23.
Right. That's where we read how God instituted and Moses recorded in the Torah 7 major appointments with his people. The word for feast is moed in Hebrew, which means appointment. So could you read that, dear?
Leviticus 23:2. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts.
Again, feasts. Number 4150 in your Strong's is Moed, and it means appointments. And then Convocations is number 4744, Mikra, which means gatherings for rehearsal. So now, putting our English meanings into it, could you read that one more time?
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointments of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy rehearsal gatherings, these are my appointments.
Wow. Saints, do you take That's that into strong. Your spirit? Mm-hmm. If this is your first time hearing this, that alone should make you sit up and listen attentively. God himself made appointments with you too. Because we have been grafted into the olive tree. Romans 11. So we now share the root system. And this is the fulfilled gospel, the good news. The first four appointments were kept by God through his son. So we, all believers, have been made beneficiaries of these kept appointments of God. And we will soon benefit immensely from the last three appointments as well. that we talk about every fall season, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles, all archived on our webpage, by the way.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember when you were the assistant pastor at the Assembly of God's Church in Burton. You started teaching on the feast.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I remember seeing the look on people's faces like, you know, like a deer in the headlights.
I know, right?
Oh, no, what's this?
Now, after 20 years, the church is starting to wake up to the importance of the Lord's appointments and taking them more seriously. But unfortunately, especially the mainstream churches still think of them as just being a Jewish thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorant of the fact, again, according to Romans 11, that we are all spiritual Jews.
Jesus was a Jew.
That's right. We've been adopted in. And remember Ruth, who is a type of the church, said to her Jewish mother-in-law, "You are now my people, and where you go, I will go. And there's no way going back." And we too, once you experience the fullness of your Jewish salvation, you're not going to go back either. You will look at the scriptures as truly a Jewish book and read it through Jewish eyes. And you'll not go looking at scripture in the Western mode ever again. It's kind of called maturing or being of full age, as Hebrews 5:14 commands that we become. So every year I teach these wonderful truths in the hope of reaching more hearts.
It's also very evangelistic to unbelievers.
It really is. But seldom is used because believers just don't seem to want to let it sink in enough to be able to share this with others. They think it's complicated.
Perhaps, but we're going to keep trying to change that. You know, it's not that difficult.
Right. You just have to keep thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the next 3, maybe 4 weeks, we will be focusing on his already kept appointments. And, by the way, as I've been saying a lot over the last many weeks, last Sunday was not Passover when Jesus died and rose. It was the secular celebration of the spring equinox by pagans, called Easter, from the name Ishtar, which was a goddess of fertility. Hence all the decorated eggs that were offered to her. Emperor Constantine combined the celebrations way back in the 4th century to appease the pagans that had already been celebrating this for centuries. So, the Lord's Spring Feasts are the first 4 appointments, actually 3 plus 1, that surrounded his first coming as a humble servant to pay the debt for all our sins, should you accept, of course. It's always one's choice. First is Passover, the blood sacrifice, then unleavened bread, which is his burial, and the first fruits, his resurrection. For he was the first fruits of the resurrection, as confirmed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:23. And then, 50 days later, at the end of springtime, he also fulfilled another promise on the Feast of Pentecost to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, which we will talk about in June, in fact, every June. This year, Pentecost is on the 12th of June. And, by the way, always on a Sunday, Leviticus 23:16. This year, Passover is on April 22nd, twixt the evening, or 3 o'clock, which is always the 14th of Nisan, or you can call it Abib. That month has 2 names. At this exact time, 3 o'clock, the sinless lamb was to be slain, and this is very important because it was exactly at 3 o'clock that Jesus' side was pierced, fulfilling to the hour his appointment with death as the Lamb of God. The Hebrew text says, betwixt the evening, for that is how they told time with the sundial. This would be halfway between the sun from its highest point in the sky, which would be noon, and the setting of the sun at evening around 6. That equals 3 o'clock, today's time. So, both events, the slaying of the Jews' lamb at the temple and Jesus' side being pierced on the cross outside the temple to the north, were done simultaneously on Nisan 14. Now, if you can just get this much and keep it down pat, you can use it to evangelize and to help the church to want more of their Hebraic roots. You got to share this information, people. This alone is mind-boggling, how God so intricately arranged everything from way back, scene by scene, line by line, and word by word, the right timing, the right places, and all the right people. It takes my breath away. Okay, the Jews today call the whole 8-day season Passover, but factually, only Nisan 14 is Passover. For at sundown around 6 p.m., the 15th, now, begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that continues for 7 days. So the whole season is 8 days in length. Now, let's look at the historical account. On the first Passover in Egypt, the Hebrews applied the blood of a perfect, unblemished lamb to the doorposts, outlining it totally even with the basin of blood left at the threshold. The first Passover was such an important, typologically spiritual event that God even told Moses, as recorded in Exodus 12, to add another calendar where the months are still named the same, but now Nisan, or Abib, would become the first month instead of the seventh. So now they would go by their new biblical calendar, beginning with Nisan as its first month. Again, they have two calendars. This new religious calendar and their first regular civil calendar that begins in Tishrei, which, of course, commemorates the creation of Adam in the world. So, both first months would be extremely important, for in these months would contain 6 feasts, with the 3 spring feasts in Nisan and the 3 fall feasts in Tishrei. Then you got Pentecost, which is the only feast that stands all by itself, in June, or 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. So, for you deeper thinkers and probable nugget searchers, always know that after Exodus 12, when reading the scriptures, and you come across a date that says in the second, in the third, or the fourth month, you begin to count from Nisan on its biblical calendar. However, before Exodus 12, you only use the first or civil calendar. And this is a huge Hebraic Roots 101 piece of knowledge. Teachers especially should never forget this. And here's the scripture, Exodus 12:1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So actually, the two calendars, it's kind of like us. We have a date when we were born again, and we often talk about that date. And we were born again into a new life. Or we can use our physical birth date. So we have two calendars too. We see just how important this information really is when it comes to figuring out when Jesus or even John the Baptist was born. And again, this is for the deeper thinkers. And we'll talk more about that next week. But it's often miscalculated, with some teaching that Jesus was even born in the spring only due to their lack of Hebraic roots knowledge on the calendars. I keep a reference of the numbered months of both calendars that I typed out and taped in the back of my Bible. If you send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, I would be glad to send you one, or you can just print it from our webpage. So, again, next month, April 22nd through the 29th, Passover is memorialized as not only the escape from Egypt's slavery, which is a type of the world, but a time for the removal of personal sin by the sacrificing of the unblemished lamb. Leaven, or yeast, when used in bread, always expands and puffs up. So it was associated with sin. You know, like pride puffs oneself up. And when used in scripture, is always a type of sin. So each year, prior to Passover, the Jews would remove all the leaven from their houses as a picture of sin soon to be removed from their souls. Let's also talk about what occurred 4 days before Jesus' death on Passover and compare what the Jews still do every year on Nisan 10. Exodus 12:3 says, "Speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for each household." Then in verse 6 it says, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it, twixt the evening," which I already explained was 3 o'clock. 4 days before Passover, Nisan 10, the lamb was chosen and examined it thoroughly for 4 days to be sure it was blemish-free and actually perfect in all ways. The size should be fitting for the family so nothing is left over, which is yet another picture that Jesus gave all of himself for us. He was a sinless, unblemished lamb. He was young, and he died for all. And he, too, was examined for 4 days. You remember Jesus rode on the donkey into Jerusalem, as prophesied he would in Zechariah 9:9? 4 days before his death. It, too, was on Nisan 10. We refer to it today as Palm Sunday, but it doesn't have to be on a Sunday anymore. But he was examined by the Jews and the Romans for 4 days in the temple. And as recorded in John 18, Pilate said, "I find no blemish in him." These are the same words that are spoken every year after examining the animal lamb for 4 days, as was the biblical requirements. It's amazing. And according to Mark 15:25, Jesus was put on the cross at 9 a.m. After hanging on the cross for 6 hours, he said the last of 7 famous phrases that were spoken by saying, "It is finished," tetelestai in Greek, which also means paid in full. So there's another picture. These are the same words that were given on parchment to all convicts when they had finished serving their time and their debts were paid in full. You see, there is a debt to pay for your sins in hell unless you accept the free gift that Jesus paid for you and canceled your debt for your sins. Oh, saints, and those that might be listening that aren't saints yet, the major question is, how well do you know him? Jesus, your Savior, who paid your debt, or do you want to pay it yourself? It's your choice. And now I'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And that's a promise. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.